Hey everyone, welcome back. It's time for another deep dive.
Yeah.
And today we're looking at something that every doctor running their own practice needs to know.
Wow.
It's all about taxes.
Yeah.
Specifically, this new e-tax guide that IRS released back in September.
Right.
We've got a whole stack of sources to unpack here.
Yeah.
But the big question we're tackling is how to make sure you're playing by the rules when it comes to incorporating your practice.
Yeah.
Because nobody wants to end up on IRS's bad side.
No, definitely not.
Right. The consequences can get pretty serious.
Yeah.
So we're going to dig deep into these guidelines,
yeah.
Make sure everything's crystal clear.
Uh-huh.
And honestly, I've already spotted some eyebrow-raising stuff just glancing through this.
Oh, really?
The thing that really jumped out at me was how IRS defines tax avoidance.
Yeah.
They're calling out some practices that are surprisingly common, especially among doctors.
Yeah.
Like, really?
Yeah.
You're doing that.
Yeah. It's fascinating, right?
Yeah.
The guide specifically mentions things like shifting income.
Yeah.
That you earn from your personal work to a company, splitting income across multiple companies.
Right.
Even reincorporating the same business under a new name.
Oh, wow.
It's like, come on, guys.
Really?
Trying to be sneaky, huh?
Wow.
And there's one here that really stood out to me.
Oh, yeah.
Attributing income or profit not aligned with economic reality.
Whoa. Okay.
What does that even mean for a doctor in their day-to-day practice, right?
So, yeah. That's a really good question.
I think it boils down to this.
Yeah.
IRS is saying you need to be paying yourself a salary that reflects the actual value you bring to your practice.
Right.
So you can't just funnel all the profits into your company and give yourself a tiny salary to avoid higher personal income tax.
Yeah, so dodging taxes by paying yourself a low salary is a no-go.
Exactly. They're looking for fairness and transparency.
Okay, so what else should doctors be aware of? When it comes to IRS's approach to sniffing out potential tax avoidance?
Well, the guide outlines a pretty clear three-step process that they use to determine if something fishy is going on.
Uh-huh.
First, they simply ask, does this arrangement seem like it's designed to reduce someone's tax liability?
Okay.
If the answer is yes, they move on to step two.
Hmm. And this is where it gets interesting.
This is where they really dig in to figure out your true motivation.
Yeah.
So they ask, was this arrangement made for genuine business reasons?
Right.
Or was avoiding or reducing tax a main purpose?
So even if you claim there's a business reason for, let's say, setting up a complex company structure.
Right.
If IRS thinks the main goal was to dodge taxes, you could be in trouble.
Exactly. They're not fooled by clever accounting tricks.
Right.
They want to see a bona fide commercial reason for your actions.
Okay.
Not just the thinly veiled attempt to lower your tax bill.
Can you give us an example of what a bona fide commercial reason might look like?
Yeah, absolutely.
In the context of a doctor's practice.
Let's say you're a doctor who wants to expand their practice to offer a new specialized service.
Right.
Or maybe you're investing in cutting edge equipment to improve patient care.
Okay.
These are legitimate business reasons that can also have tax implications.
Right.
But the primary motivation isn't tax avoidance.
So it's all about intent and having a solid paper trail.
Yes. Documentation is key.
Right.
IRS wants to see that your decisions are driven by genuine business needs.
Okay.
You need to be able to clearly demonstrate why you structured your practice the way you did.
Right.
And be prepared to back it up with evidence.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
You mentioned there are three steps in IRS's process.
Right.
What's the final step?
Okay. So the third step comes into play.
Okay.
If a doctor has used a specific provision in the Income Tax Act to gain a tax advantage.
Yep.
They need to be able to prove that they use that provision.
Okay.
Exactly as Parliament intended.
So if there's a specific tax break designed for medical practices,
right,
you better be using it by the book.
Precisely. It's all about staying within the spirit and the letter of the law.
Okay. This is a lot to take in.
Yeah.
IRS clearly has a pretty rigorous approach to sniffing out tax avoidance, especially among doctors.
They've seen it all before.
It sounds like they've seen it all before and they're not messing around.
They're serious about this, but
yeah.
It's important to remember
yeah.
that IRS isn't trying to penalize doctors
right.
who are legitimately trying to manage their finances and grow their practices.
Right. They just want to make sure everyone is playing by the same rules.
Exactly.
And speaking of rules, there's this concept called arm's length remuneration mm-hmm. that's especially relevant for doctors who have incorporated their practice.
Right.
That sounds intriguing. Tell me more about arm's length remuneration.
Okay, so...
And why it matters so much in this context.
All right, so arm's length remuneration.
Yeah.
It's all about making sure doctors who have incorporated their practice
mm-hmm.
are paying themselves a fair salary.
Yeah.
One that's... comparable
yeah.
to what other doctors with similar experience and skills would earn in the market.
Right.
You know, it goes back to that idea of economic reality that oh. we were discussing earlier.
So you can't just pay yourself a pittance
right.
and funnel the rest of the profits to your company to avoid taxes.
Exactly.
IRAS is watching.
They are indeed. And the e-tax guide actually lays out two specific methods
okay.
for determining what qualifies as arm's length remuneration.
Okay.
Market salary benchmarking and the cost plus method.
Okay. Break those down for me.
All right.
Let's start with market salary benchmarking.
Okay.
What does that entail?
It's pretty straightforward.
Okay.
You compare your salary to what other doctors in similar roles are making.
Okay.
And you need to consider factors like your specialization, years of experience
right.
type of practice, even your geographic location.
Okay.
There are industry salary surveys, recruitment data, job postings,
yeah.
all sorts of resources you can use to get a sense of the going rate.
So I'm a doctor. I've got my practice. I need to figure out what a fair salary is for someone with my expertise.
Right.
I hit the books.
Yeah.
Look at what other doctors are making
right.
and try to align myself with the market.
Exactly.
What about situations where it's not so easy to find comparable data?
Right.
Let's say I specialize in a very niche area of medicine.
Okay.
Or my practice has unique features that make it hard to find direct comparisons.
Yeah, that's where the cost plus method can be really helpful.
Okay.
It's a bit more nuanced
uh-huh.
and takes into account the specific value your company adds.
Right.
The goal is to ensure that your salary reflects your contribution to that value creation.
I'm really curious to hear how this works in practice. Can you give us a real world example of how a doctor might apply the cost plus method?
Sure. Let's say you're a cardiologist running a specialized clinic.
Okay.
You've invested in state-of-the-art equipment.
Uh-huh.
You've got a team of nurses, technicians, administrative staff.
Right.
You're providing a very specific and valuable service.
Okay.
Using the cost plus method, you'd first calculate the direct costs of running the clinic.
Okay.
Salaries, rent, supplies, equipment depreciation, all of that.
Right.
Then you'd add a markup for your company's profit margin.
Okay.
Your salary, as the cardiologist who's essentially driving the success of the practice,
yeah.
would then reflect your role in generating that profit.
So it's a way of recognizing that your expertise is a key driver of the company's value.
It's
and you should be compensated accordingly.
Right.
But I can already see where this might get tricky.
Yeah.
Couldn't a doctor just inflate their contributions
yeah.
to justify a higher salary?
Yeah.
How do you ensure objectivity with this method?
That's a key point. Documentation and transparency are absolutely critical
right.
when using the cost plus method.
Okay.
You need to be able to clearly demonstrate how you arrived at your salary figure.
Okay.
And be prepared to justify it to IRA if they come knocking.
So it's not just about picking a number that sounds good.
Right.
You need to be able to back it up with solid evidence.
Exactly. And remember,
yeah.
even with these methods in place,
uh-huh.
it's still possible for IRAs to raise questions.
Right.
Or even find that a doctor has been engaging in tax avoidance.
Okay. So let's talk about what can happen if IRAs flags a potential issue.
Right.
What are the potential outcomes if IRAs determines that a doctor has been avoiding taxes?
Right.
What are we looking at here?
Well, it depends on the severity of the case.
In
some instances, IRAs might simply adjust the arrangement
uh-huh.
to bring it into compliance with tax laws.
Okay.
This could involve recategorizing income,
right.
reallocating profits,
okay.
or requiring the doctor to pay themselves a higher salary.
Okay, so a bit of a financial shuffle,
yeah.
but not the end of the world.
Right.
What are some of the more serious consequences?
Well, IRAs can also impose penalties.
Okay.
Which can range from fines to increased tax assessments.
Right.
This can get pretty costly depending on the circumstances.
Definitely a hit to the wallet.
Yeah.
And in the most extreme cases.
If there's clear evidence of intentional and deliberate tax evasion,
yeah.
IRAs can pursue criminal prosecution.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. It's important to remember that these situations are rare.
Right.
But the consequences can be very serious.
So the stakes are pretty high.
Wow.
It sounds like it's really important for doctors to understand these rules and take them seriously.
Absolutely. But I want to emphasize that this deep dive isn't meant to scare anyone.
Right.
It's about empowering doctors with the knowledge they need to make informed decisions,
right,
protect themselves,
uh-huh,
and stay focused on what matters most, providing excellent patient care.
It's about peace of mind, knowing that you're operating ethically and legally,
uh-huh,
and you're not going to get caught in a tax trap.
Exactly.
Speaking of practical advice,
yeah,
we've talked about the what and the why of tax avoidance.
Right.
But let's shift gears and explore the how.
Okay.
What are some concrete steps doctors can take to ensure they're paying themselves appropriately?
Yeah.
And avoiding any red flags with IRAs?
Oh, that's a great question.
Yeah.
And there are definitely some best practices that doctors can follow.
Uh-huh.
First and foremost, documentation is key.
Okay, we've touched on documentation a few times already.
Right.
But let's get really specific here.
Okay.
What kinds of documents should doctors be keeping?
Yeah.
And why are they so important?
So think of it like building a strong case for your financial decisions.
Okay.
You want to have clear records of everything.
Uh-huh.
Revenue and expenses,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
But also details about the services you provide.
Yeah.
The time you spend on different tasks.
Yeah.
And any agreements you have with your company.
So it's not just about having a shoebox full of receipts.
No.
It's about painting a comprehensive picture,
yeah,
of your practice's finances,
right,
and how your salary fits into that equation.
Exactly. If IRAs ever has questions, you want to be armed with a robust set of documents,
right,
that clearly demonstrate the rationale behind your compensation structure.
Okay.
For example, having detailed patient logs,
mm-hmm,
can help you justify the time you spend on patient care.
Right.
While billing statements,
yeah,
provide a clear record of your revenue generation.
Okay.
Even something like equipment purchase records can be valuable.
Right.
If you're using the cost plus method to determine your salary.
It's like having a financial audit trail that tells the story of your practice.
Exactly.
And how you contribute to its value.
Uh-huh. And here's another key point.
Oh, okay.
Don't just set your salary once and forget about it.
Right.
Your practice is constantly evolving. Your responsibilities might change.
Yeah.
The market can fluctuate. It's important to regularly review your compensation structure at least once a year.
Okay.
And make adjustments as needed.
So it's not a set it and forget it kind of thing.
No, not at all.
You need to stay on top of it and adapt as your practice grows.
Exactly. And this is where seeking professional guidance can be incredibly valuable.
Okay.
A qualified tax advisor who specializes in working with medical professionals,
uh-huh,
can provide an objective assessment of your compensation structure.
Okay.
Identify any potential red flags and help you stay on the right side of IRS.
It's like having a financial co-pilot,
yeah,
to navigate the complex world of tax compliance.
Exactly. They can help you develop a tax strategy,
like, yeah,
that aligns with your business goals,
uh-huh,
and minimizes your risk.
Now let's circle back to those two methods for determining arm's length remuneration.
Okay.
Market benchmarking and the cost plus method.
Yeah.
Are there situations where one method might be more appropriate than the other?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
The best approach really depends on the specifics of your practice.
Okay.
If you're a general practitioner in a standard clinic setting,
mm-hmm,
market benchmarking might be fairly straightforward.
Right.
There's likely plenty of data available on what other doctors in similar roles are earning.
Yeah.
You can make a direct comparison and ensure your salary is in line with the market.
So if you're in a common specialty,
right,
it's a matter of finding the right data points.
Uh-huh.
And making sure you're not an outlier.
Right.
What about for specialists or doctors with unique practice structures?
Yeah. If you're a specialist in a niche field, or your practice has unique features,
yeah, uh-huh,
that make it difficult to find direct comparables,
right,
the cost plus method might be a better fit.
Okay.
It allows you to really drill down into the specific value you bring to your practice,
uh-huh,
and justify a salary that reflects those unique contributions.
So it's about choosing the method that best captures the complexity of your practice and allows you to present a clear and defensible case for your compensation.
You got it. And sometimes it even makes sense to use a combination of both methods.
Oh, okay.
You might start with market benchmarking to get a general sense of the salary range.
Uh-huh.
And then use the cost plus method to fine tune it.
Right.
Based on the specifics of your practice and your role within it.
It's about finding the approach that gives you the most accurate and well-supported result.
Exactly.
We've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive.
We have.
IRA is a definition of tax avoidance.
Right.
Their three-step approach to assessment.
Uh-huh.
The importance of arm's-length remuneration.
Yeah.
And some practical steps doctors can take to stay compliant.
Right.
As we wrap things up.
Okay.
What's the key message you want our listeners to walk away with?
The most important takeaway is that knowledge is power.
Mm.
By taking the time to understand the rules, keeping meticulous records, and seeking expert guidance when needed, you can navigate the complexities of tax compliance with confidence.
Yeah.
It's about protecting yourself,
mm-hmm.
minimizing your tax liability,
right.
and ultimately being able to focus on what matters most, providing exceptional patient care.
Well said.
Thank you.
And for our listeners out there, if you're feeling a bit overwhelmed by all this tax talk, don't hesitate to reach out to a qualified tax professional.
Yeah, absolutely.
They can provide personalized guidance and help you develop a strategy that aligns with your specific needs and goals.
They're your allies in navigating this complex landscape.
Thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive. We hope this episode has provided you with valuable insights and actionable steps you can take to ensure your practice is running smoothly and ethically.
Definitely.
Remember, staying informed is the best way to avoid any tax-related surprises down the road.
Right.
Until next time, stay curious.
Bye. Okay, so arm's length remuneration.
Yeah.
It's basically making sure doctors who've incorporated their practice are paying themselves a fair salary, you know, one that's comparable to what other doctors with similar experience and skills would earn in the market.
Right.
It goes back to that idea of economic reality we were talking about.
So you can't just like pay yourself pennies and send all the profits to the company to avoid taxes.
Exactly.
IRS is going to be watching.
Oh, yeah, they're watching. And the e-tax guide actually lays out two specific methods for determining what qualifies as this arm's length remuneration.
Okay.
Market salary benchmarking.
Okay.
And the cost plus method.
Okay. Break those down for me.
All right.
Let's start with market salary benchmarking.
Okay. So market salary benchmarking.
What does that entail?
It's pretty straightforward.
Okay.
You're comparing your salary to what other doctors in similar roles are making.
Okay.
You need to consider things like your specialization, years of experience type of practice,
right?
Even your location, geographic location.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, there are industry salary surveys and recruitment data, job postings, all sorts of things you can look at to get a sense of the going rate.
So I'm a doctor. I've got my practice.
Uh-huh.
I need to figure out, okay, what's a fair salary for someone with my expertise?
Right.
I got to do some research.
Yeah, hit the
books. Look at what other doctors are making and try to align myself with the market.
Exactly.
Now, what about situations where it's not so easy to find comparable data?
Right.
Let's say, like, I specialize in a very niche area of medicine.
Okay.
Or my practice has some unique features that make it hard to find direct comparisons.
That's where the cost plus method can be really helpful.
Okay.
It's a bit more nuanced.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes into account the specific value your company's adding.
Okay.
The goal is to ensure that your salary reflects your contribution to that value.
Gotcha. I'm really curious to hear how this works in practice. Can you give us like a real world example of how a doctor might apply this cost plus method?
Sure. Let's say you're a cardiologist running a specialized clinic.
Okay.
You've invested in state of the art equipment.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a team of nurses, technicians, admin staff.
Right.
You're providing a very specific and valuable service.
Okay.
So using the cost plus method, you would first calculate the direct costs of running the clinic.
Okay.
You know, salaries, rent, supplies, equipment depreciation, all that.
All that, yeah.
Then you would add a markup for your company's profit margin.
Okay.
And your salary as a cardiologist driving the success of the practice would reflect your role in generating that profit.
So it's a way of recognizing that your expertise is like a key driver of the company's value.
You are the value.
Yeah.
You're bringing the value.
And you should be compensated accordingly.
Right.
But I can already see where this could get a little tricky. Like, couldn't a doctor just inflate their contributions to justify a higher salary?
Yeah.
How do you ensure objectivity with this method?
You hit on a key point.
Yeah.
Documentation and transparency are absolutely critical when using this cost plus method.
Okay.
You need to be able to clearly demonstrate how you arrived at that salary figure.
Okay.
And be prepared to back it up if IRAs comes knocking.
So it's not just about picking a number that sounds good.
Right.
you need to be able to back it up with solid evidence.
Exactly. And remember, even with these methods in place, it's still possible for IRAs to have some questions or even find that a doctor has been engaging in tax avoidance.
Okay, so let's talk about what can happen if IRAs flags a potential issue.
Right.
What are the potential outcomes if IRAs determines that a doctor has been avoiding taxes? What are we looking at here?
Well, it really depends on the severity of the case.
Okay.
In some instances, IRAs might simply adjust the arrangement to bring it into compliance with the tax laws.
Okay.
So this could involve recategorizing income, reallocating profits, or requiring the doctor to pay themselves a higher salary.
Okay, so a bit of a financial shuffle.
Yeah, like a little reshuffling.
Not the end of the world.
Right.
What are some of the more serious consequences?
Well, IRAs can also impose penalties.
Okay.
And these can range from fines to increased tax assessments.
Yeah.
So it can get pretty costly.
Definitely a hit to the wallet.
Yeah.
And in the most extreme cases,
if there's clear evidence of intentional and deliberate tax evasion, IRAs can pursue criminal prosecution.
Whoa. Okay.
It's important to remember these situations are rare.
Right.
But the consequences can be very serious.
Yeah. So the stakes are pretty high.
Uh-huh.
It sounds like it's really important for doctors to understand these rules.
Absolutely.
And take them seriously.
Yeah. But I want to emphasize that this deep dive isn't meant to scare anyone. It's about empowering doctors with the knowledge they need to make informed decisions, protect themselves, and stay focused on what really matters, providing excellent patient care.
It's about that peace of mind.
Yeah, exactly.
Knowing that you're operating ethically and legally, you're not going to get caught in some kind of tax trap.
Exactly.
Speaking of practical advice, we've talked about the what and the why of tax avoidance.
Right.
But let's shift gears and explore the how.
Okay.
What are some concrete steps that doctors can take to ensure that they're paying themselves appropriately and avoiding any red flags with IRAs?
That's a great question. And there are definitely some best practices that doctors can follow. First and foremost, documentation is key.
Okay, we've touched on documentation a few times already.
Right.
But let's get really specific here.
Oh.
What kinds of documents should doctors be keeping?
Yeah.
Why are they so important?
Well, you got to think of it like building a strong case.
Yeah.
For your financial decisions.
Yeah.
You really want clear records of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Revenue and expenses, of course.
Right.
But also details about the services you provide.
Yeah.
The time you spend on different tasks.
Oh.
Any agreements you have with your company.
So it's not just about having a shoebox full of receipts.
No, it's about painting this like comprehensive picture of your practice's finances and how your salary fits into all of that.
Right, like a financial audit trail.
Exactly.
That tells the story of your practice and how you contribute to its value.
Right. So if IRAs ever has questions, you're armed with this robust set of documents.
Okay.
That clearly demonstrate why your compensation structure is the way it is.
Right.
So, for example, having detailed patient logs can help you justify the time you spend on patient care.
Okay.
While your billing statements provide a clear record of your revenue generation.
Yeah.
Even something like equipment purchase records
can
be valuable if you're using that cost plus method to determine your salary.
Okay. That makes sense.
And here's another key point.
Okay.
Don't just set your salary and forget about it.
Yeah.
Like, your practice is always evolving. Uh-huh. Your responsibilities change.
Right.
The market fluctuates.
Yeah.
So it's important to regularly review your compensation structure.
Yeah.
At least once a year.
Yeah.
Make adjustments as needed.
So it's not a set it and forget it.
No, not at all.
You got to stay on top of it.
You got to stay on top of it and adapt as your practice grows.
And this is where seeking professional guidance can be really valuable.
Incredibly valuable.
Okay. Like a qualified tax advisor.
Yes, someone who specializes in working with medical professionals.
Right, who knows the ins and outs.
They can provide an objective assessment of your compensation.
Yeah.
Identify any potential red flags.
Right.
And help you stay on the right side of IRAs.
Yeah, like having a financial co-pilot to navigate all this, they can help you develop that tax strategy.
You're right, one that aligns with your goals.
Right.
And minimizes your risk.
Okay, so let's circle back to those two methods for determining arm's length remuneration, market benchmarking, and the cost plus method.
Uh-huh.
Are there situations where one method might be more appropriate than the other?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
The best approach really depends on the specifics of your practice.
Right.
So if you're a general practitioner in a standard clinic setting, market benchmarking might be pretty straightforward.
Okay.
There's likely plenty of data available on what other doctors in similar roles are earning.
Yeah.
You can make a direct comparison and make sure your salary is in line.
So if you're in a common specialty, it's a matter of finding the right data points and making sure you're not an outlier.
Exactly.
What about for specialists or doctors with unique practice structures?
Well, if you're a specialist in a niche field or your practice has unique features that make it difficult to find those direct comparisons.
Right.
The cost plus method might be a better fit.
Right.
Allows you to drill down into the value you bring.
Right.
And justify a salary that reflects that.
So it's about choosing the method that best captures the complexity of your practice.
Yes.
And allows you to present a clear and defensible case for your compensation.
You got it.
Sometimes it makes sense to use a combination of both, right?
Absolutely. You might start with market benchmarking to get a general sense of the range.
Right.
And then use the cost plus method to fine tune it based on your specific circumstances.
It's about finding the approach that gives you the most accurate and well-supported result.
Exactly.
We've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive.
We have.
IRAs's definition of tax avoidance, the three-step approach, the arm's length remuneration, and some practical steps doctors can take to stay compliant. So as we wrap things up, what's the key message you want our listeners to walk away with?
I think the most important takeaway here is that knowledge is power.
Mm.
By taking the time to understand the rules, keeping good records, and seeking expert guidance when you need it, you can navigate these complexities with confidence.
Absolutely. It's about protecting yourself,
minimizing
your tax liability, and ultimately being able to focus on what matters most, providing exceptional patient care.
That's what it's all about.
Well said. And for our listeners out there, if you're feeling a bit overwhelmed by all this tax talk,
it can be a lot.
Don't hesitate to reach out to a qualified tax professional.
Absolutely.
They can provide personalized guidance, help you develop a strategy that aligns with your specific needs and goals.
They're your allies in navigating this.
Couldn't agree more. Thanks for joining us on the deep dive. We hope this episode has provided you with some valuable insights and actionable steps you can take to ensure your practice is running smoothly and ethically.
Absolutely.
Remember, staying informed is the best way to avoid any tax-related surprises down the road.
It really is.
Until next time, stay curious.